THN Prospect fans, here we are again, once again with our weekly THN Prospect podcast. My name is Ken Campbell, and as always, joined by Ryan Kennedy, our Yoda of young players.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to try for a different one every week now,
I'm
going to have to prepare.
Yeah.
So this week, you're the Yoda of young players. That you are.
Indeed. Make lists, I will.
Yeah. So we've got a lot on the a lot of meat on the plate here, a lot of grist for the mill to talk about. First of all, obviously the world under 18s are going on in Russia right now, and Ryan, this time last week, things were not looking so good for Team USA, and they were looking beautiful for Team Canada. And as the week went on, things started looking even worse for Team USA and even better for Canada. But as we sit here today, that's all gone down the crapper.
Yes. Yeah, so Canada's out. They lost to the Czech Republic, 2-1 in the quarterfinal. Czech netminder Lukas Dostal played very well. Play the spoiler there, and it's interesting because another player that had a big impact, Maciej Pekar, who plays in the USHL from Muskegon, I was just talking to a scout about him. You know, I'm putting together our rankings for draft preview, want to make sure don't miss anybody, and he said, yeah, Maciej Pekar, you want to have him in that top 100, best motor in the USHL.
Wow.
So, obviously, Pekar came to play, and Canada suffered the consequences, and of course, on the other side, Team USA blew out Russia 5-1. Really
right.
Looks like they're coming together.
Yeah. And now they draw the Czechs in the semifinal.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, obviously the Czechs did it against a very good team against Canada and could do it again, but lots of times these teams are kind of one and done when it comes to those kind of games in this tournament.
Yeah, and ironically, that's what happened to the Czechs at the World Juniors as well,
exactly,
where they had won the one important game they needed, and then that was kind of it for them, but yeah, you look at the Americans, and they reunited the Joel Farabee, Oliver Wahlstrom, Jack Hughes line. Obviously, that paid huge dividends. Joel Farabee, player of the game there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's always tough for Canada. They don't have all their best players. They're cobbling together a roster. But I still think this is a pretty big disappointment for a team that should at least make the semifinal in this field.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's got to be considered a huge disappointment, Ryan. And now, you know, here we go with we'll do a bit of navel gazing, I guess. You know, 3 years in a row without meddling in this tournament. So 3 years in a row, they've either lost in the semis or the quarters. So, I mean, is that a concern? I don't think it is. unfortunately for Canada, this tournament falls at a time when, you know, they don't have access to all of their best players. But, you know, I would also argue on the flip side that Canada's, even under those circumstances, Canada should put together a team that can compete for a gold medal in this tournament.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether they have all of their best players or just the ones whose teams didn't make the playoffs or were beat out in the first or second round. So, you know, I mean, is it a concern? I suppose it's a concern. You know, it doesn't seem to manifest itself moving up the ladder. You know, I mean, Canada in the Olympics and the world's level, they're still there. They've always been competitive at the World Juniors, unless, of course, something crazy like this happens in a quarterfinal.
Yeah.
What's your read on it?
I mean, my one kind of impish idea is that Canada needs some sort of NTDP program. I know Major Junior would never go for it because they don't want to lose their best 17-year-olds, but I wonder if you had just the under 17s, like if you didn't do the U18s, if you just did under 17s and you hothouse them, you have them play tournaments, you have them play older competition, probably junior A programs, would that help foment, you know, future chemistry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been saying that for a long time, that the U.S. is creeping up and they're, you know, I don't know that they'll ever surpass Canada, but I think the reason why USA is so competitive on the world stage with Canada, despite the fact that, you know, Canada still gets usually the best athletes, has all the resources, and I mean, USA is a rich country as well, but I think it's solely because of the under 17 and under 18 programs, and I would be entirely in favor of them hothousing the best under 17s and under 18s in Canada. Even, you know, even if it sounds crazy, like even each province could have an under 17 and under 18 team, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just think that, you know, in a lot of ways, the way it's done in Canada is it's set up to fail. And I think in these cases, that's what you're seeing.
Yeah. And again, I know that, you know, major junior teams don't want to lose some of their best players in their draft year.
Wah, too bad.
I know. But if it was just under 17 and it was what would have been their first season in the OHL or the Q or the Dub, you get them, you know, you get them back in their draft year, and maybe they're more complete players. Who knows? Just an idea.
Well, it's, you know, it's something to debate. And I mean, you know, there are more than, as my dad used to say, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
There you go.
I don't know who skins cats. Like, why would you skin a cat? I have no idea. But anyway, there apparently appears to be more than one way to do that. So really, there's more than one way to develop hockey players.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm not sure that the Canadian way is always the greatest way. I mean, I think Canada, you know, gets what they have on the international level just by, you know, just by sheer numbers and resources, you know? And you wonder what might happen if those numbers and resources were directed in a different way. And I think that's all we're saying here.
Yeah.
So we'll keep our eye on that. We'll see where that goes. But it looks like, you know, USA seems to be rounding into form. Finland and Sweden, that should be a pretty good semifinal, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, two teams, a great arch rivalry there as well. Yeah. And, you know, Finland, they've been very, very strong so far. And, you know, getting some nice performances from some underage kids. Julius Honka's brother is there. He's not up for the draft till next season. And a name to keep in mind for 2019, Kaapo Kakko. I'm probably mispronouncing it, but that's what it is phonetically. He's been playing on their top line.
Sounds like a mafia boss.
That's right.
El Kaapo Kakko.
Don't mess with Kaapo Kakko. But he's looking like he could be a very good player for the 2019 draft, playing on their top line. And then Sweden, Jonathan Berggren has been red hot for them. It'll be interesting to see how that affects his draft stock. So should be a fun one.
Certainly puts him in the top part of the second, or somewhere in the second round.
I would think so, yes.
Okay, good. All right, well, we're done with that. Let's move on to other teenager hockey news here in terms of some big news coming out of the Quebec League. And, like, this is game-changer stuff, I think. Patrick Roy is rejoining the Quebec Rempart as the coach and GM of the team. You know, I mean, last time he was there, that team was the gold standard in that league. They were always competitive, always were getting, you know, really good American and European players. And, you know, we're a super big threat to always win the Memorial Cup. And, I can't imagine that would not become the case again.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, at the beginning of this season, I did a little experiment where I pulled a bunch of player agents and scouts, and I said, if your son could play for any major junior team, you know, in the three leagues, who do you want them to play for? And the answer in the Quebec League was the Remparts. And part of the reason was they have such excellent facilities, including what is ostensibly an NHL arena and brand new.
Yep.
And now you get Patrick Roy, a guy who is a Hall of Famer, just a legend in the game, and has accomplished a lot in major junior already. It's very intriguing for a number of reasons. First of which is, clearly, he's not going to the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, he ain't going there.
not right now, at least.
Yep.
And then, of course, you look at the Remparts as well, and you say, okay, well, who can they get in the import draft? Does that help even more now that Roy's behind the bench? What kind of Americans can they attract? What kind of trades do they pull off? Do they think they'll be in a position to go for the Memorial Cup next year? Because it's being hosted by Halifax, which I always think, you know, if you're not the host team, you kind of like to be in a position to go for it that year because you don't have to win your league. You just have to get to the final as long as the host team is also in the final.
As long as the host team gets the final, yeah.
So maybe an opening there. And just so much going on in the Quebec League now. Halifax actually fired coach Jim Midgley. So they're going to be looking for a new head coach heading into the Memorial Cup. So that's pretty intriguing.
Oh, gee, how could that? What could go wrong there then?
Yeah.
You know, really, like they're trying to patch this year and then don't get me started. Get me started if you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways,
Patrick Roy, it's always fun having him around that level. We know that he's a passionate hockey coach and a great GM at the junior level, so it's going to be fun to see the Remparts.
Be interesting to see what sort of incarnation of Patrick Roy we're going to see behind the bench of the Quebec Remparts. You would have to think that, you know, like John Tortorella, it's a kinder and gentler version, perhaps. You know, maybe we're not going to see, you know, as many goalie fights. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It'll really be interesting to see. I mean, you know, he's obviously got the fire, and we know that, and he's ultra competitive, and you know, has proved time and time again that he really is, you know, a guy that wears his heart on his sleeve that way. But interesting to see how he handles all of this and whether or not he goes back there now as kind of maybe a wiser version of Patrick Roy.
Yes.
You know, so
I almost picture him with the attitude of, I'm calmer now, but don't test me.
Yeah. Those still waters run deep.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so moving up one tier from junior hockey, the AHL playoffs are in full swing. The first round, which is a best of five in the AHL, going on right now. And, you know, I mean, we watched a team from the Toronto area here get beaten game seven last night. But there's a lot of good feelings around this organization with respect to the future, with respect to, you know, who they have available. The Marlies are in the playoffs. They had a great regular season, mowed through the first two games of their playoff series against Utica, and then got pretty much spanked last night in game three. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was, you know, so if they get the split in Utica, then they win the series. So, you know, I think we're assuming that the Marlies will move along in the playoffs here. And I guess the question is, you know, can they finally win it all?
Yeah. And I think this is a really important year for the organization and some of the people involved in the organization. You know, head coach Sheldon Keefe, his name has come up for some NHL openings. Kyle Dubas, who is responsible largely for building the Marlies and works for the Leafs, obviously, has been talked about as a possible GM elsewhere. But this is a team, the Marlies, that they haven't done it yet. And they've had some very good teams in the past few years, and I really feel like they need to win it. I want to say at least go to the final, but I feel like they actually do need to win it and prove that they can actually be a championship team. You know, with Garrett Sparks and Calvin Pickard, they have the best goaltending tandem in the AHL. You know, Sparks was the goalie of the year. You know, they have a lot of good veterans. They have a lot of depth and a lot of talent there. Now, with the Leafs out, they can also get Kasperi Kapanen, Travis Dermott, and Andreas Johnsson, which would be huge because that's essentially two-thirds of a top line and a number one defenseman.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you look at all that, I really feel like they need to prove that they can put it all together. And, you know, I mean, Utica's a good test because the Canucks have a lot of good young talent, a couple of them that they brought in late. And then also lurking in the future, the Syracuse Crunch, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Who took him out last year.
Took him out last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, they've already moved on to the second round. They waxed Rochester.
Yeah.
So a lot of talent at their disposal, albeit, you know, the Lightning are still in the Stanley Cup playoffs, so they can't toss as many players down there. But I think this is a really crucial playoffs for the Marlies, and we'll really see not only the players, but the brass as well.
Yeah, and I think that they do have something to prove. I think Sheldon Keefe does have something to prove as a coach that he can, you know, lead a team to a championship. I know he did it at the junior A level, but didn't do it in the Sioux, and so far has, you know, been found a little wanting in the playoffs, you know, in Toronto. So I think that's a fair assessment. As far as Kyle Dubas is concerned, to me, Ryan, if I'm going to poach somebody from the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm poaching Mark Hunter, not Kyle Dubas.
Right.
That's the guy I want.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons, but just the fact that, you know, I mean, I think he's a GM in waiting. I think that, you know, his record speaks for itself in terms of garnering talent, both in the OHL and, you know, for the Leafs. You know, we don't hear anybody talking about how maybe the Leafs should have taken, Hanifin
right.
instead of Mitch Marner and that
right.
sort of thing. So anyways, if I'm poaching the Leafs for a GM, I'm swinging for the fences. I'm going for Mark Hunter.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally see that. And I think, you know, with Dubas obviously coming from an analytics background, you know, there's been a lot of buzz as some teams around the league, they try to catch on to these new ways and, you know, you always want to disrupt business and blah, blah, blah. But there are teams interested. And I think that because of that, this Toronto Marlies team, I think they really need to do some damage.
Yeah. Well, they play Friday night in Utica at the whatever the Utica Arena is. Good tickets still available if you're interested in Utica on Friday night. So there's our plug for the American League and the Utica Comets.
Yeah.
All right, moving right along here. Well, you know, Ryan, you know where good intentions go, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, you had great intentions when you interviewed Alexis Lafreniere before the under-18s and for this podcast. I don't know that you can pin much of Canada's struggles on him because he was outstanding.
Indeed.
He's an underage and obviously has a great future ahead of him. So here it is. Here's our here's Ryan's interview with Alexis Lafreniere of Team Canada and, of course, of the Rimouski Oceanic prior to the under-18s.
I'm here with Alexis Lafreniere from the Rimouski Oceanic. And, Alexis, we're here at Team Canada's under-18 camp, which you took part in. You guys are heading to Russia. So to begin with, how fun is it to be here as an underager?
Yeah, it's really fun for me to come here as an underage because I can learn about the older guy and good coaches, coaching staff. And the guy helped me a lot. I can learn from them, like I said. So for me, it's really a good experience here.
Now, with Hockey Canada, obviously they have their own systems and things like that they want you to play with. How quick is it to pick up, you know, how Coach Don Hay wants you guys to play in Russia?
Yeah, you have to learn pretty quick. You just have to listen to him when he talks in practice and in the room. Just he's a great coach, so you just need to listen to him, learn from him, and on the ice just work hard and everything will be okay.
Is it fair to say that Canada wants to play fast? That seems to be how they've been winning a lot of medals at the different levels internationally recently.
Yeah, they always want to play fast, play hard, play as a team, as a unit. So you go out there and just work hard and play as your best, and it will be okay.
Now, you had a fantastic rookie season in the Quebec League, 80 points. What were your expectations for yourself, and did you meet them?
Yeah, I think I come in the league just try no point expectation, just try to go out there and work hard every single day in the practice and games, get better and better. So I think for points, I just don't expect myself doing for a point expectation, just for working hard, and everything will come after.
And overall, how did you feel about your first year in the Quebec League, you know, living away from home, playing against top competition and all those things?
Yeah, I've loved playing Rimouski. I think that's like my home now in Rimouski. I think it's been a really fun season. We don't have the end that we want to, but I think that I have a lot of fun with the group of guys there, and I'm already excited for next year.
Now, you're not up for the NHL draft until 2020 because of your late birthday, but one of your teammates, Dmitry Zavgorodny, he is up for the draft this summer. What can you tell people about Dmitry and what he brings to the ice?
Oh, he's a really hard worker on the ice. I think every single day he stays after practice. He comes before practice for work on his skating, his shooting. So that's really great. That's proof that he takes it seriously. And as a person, he's really sympathetic. He's a good guy, and he loves to laugh, and I have fun with him. He's my good friend. We get close since the start of the season. So, he's an hard worker, and he can put up big goals.
Now, you were the top pick overall in the Quebec League draft, and, you know, kind of fun with Rimouski because, obviously, they had Sidney Crosby and Vincent LeCavalier and Brad Richards. So, you know, a lot of people think, like, this could be the next great player from Rimouski. How do you deal with that kind of pressure?
Yeah, I just try to don't think about this. Think about myself, what I do good, and just try to bring it on the ice. Like the guy before me had a tremendous career in the NHL. So me, I'm just starting my junior. So I just try to focus on myself and try to do what I can do good and work hard.
And when you were growing up, who was your favorite NHL player?
Oh, Patrick Kane was my favorite. What he can do on the ice was amazing. I look a lot of Game of Chicago, and every time that I was looking at him on the ice, it was amazing. So, yeah.
And finally, obviously, players always want to develop during the summer. What are you going to focus on for yourself this summer?
Yeah, I'm going to train really hard, like last season, off and on the ice. I think with our coach back home, I have a lot of confidence in them on the gym and on the ice. So I will just work hard on everything, lower body, upper body, and that will be good.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for that, Ryan. And moving on to our draft spotlight, every week we highlight one player for the 2018 draft. And this week, it is Sarah Noël of the Oshawa Generals, another player who... unfortunately, is not playing hockey anymore for him. Unfortunately for him, and unfortunately for Canada, he's not playing hockey anymore. But a guy that is a pretty interesting prospect. Won a gold medal at the Ivan Hlinka tournament with Canada before the season started, and was obviously on Canada's team with the under-18s. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I really like Sarah Noël a lot. I had a chance to see him live during the OHL playoffs, before the Oshawa Generals were eliminated by Niagara, and he has the ability to take over, and he actually did it in the second period of the game I saw. Big kid, I think he's about 6'5", 216 right now. I had one scout tell me he'll probably end up playing at like 235 pounds by the time he comes an NHLer, and he can really skate. So when you have a big body like that, and he'll play physical, he's got skill, and he can skate, and he's that big, I mean, that's just really intriguing. And because of that, I definitely see him as like a mid to late first rounder. He's got power forward potential. Right now, he's got to learn to play without the puck.
Right.
A lot of players need that when they're younger. So it's not a huge negative, but the defensive side of things, he's still working out. He's a raw kid, but very athletic, and he goes to the net. So a ton of potential here. He's the type of kid that obviously you're going to see him in junior for a couple more years. You're not going to rush him, but lots of potential. And maybe he even needs a year in the AHL after junior to figure out that and get the all-around game going.
Right.
But so much potential here.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's got the bloodlines, obviously, too, athletic bloodlines at the very least. His father, Dean, was a running back for the Ottawa – I don't know. I guess they were the Red Blacks. I don't know if they were still the Rough Riders. And Hamilton. So, he's obviously got some athletic genes there. Was coached by Jason York, former NHLer Jason York, as a young kid, and really credits him with bringing his game along. Are we looking at maybe another, a best-case scenario, maybe another Blake Wheeler here?
That's pretty interesting. I mean, Blake Wheeler's got a great complete game, so I don't know if Sarah Noël will get there.
He didn't always.
I guess that's true.
At that age, he probably didn't either.
Yeah, that's true. Scouts are saying, he's definitely a top-nine guy, and then obviously you see top-six potential in what he has. So right now, it's just about him putting in the work and knowing that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, that's the thing with guys this age that I think is the biggest key. I mean, they've got the skills, they've got the strength, they've got the size, they know how to play hockey, they're good. But some of them are clueless when it comes to what it takes, and some of them are less than clueless. Like, but most of them really don't have a really good grasp of, you know, I mean, yes, the Connor McDavid's come along and they know it. Yeah. You know, I mean, some of these guys, they know from the time they're 13 years old what they have to do to play in the NHL. Mm. But I think a lot of these kids, I think that's where the development is really crucial at this stage, is now they have to take what they have in their toolbox and they have to realize what it takes to put it all together and to be a player that can not just be a really good player at that level, but can get beyond that level and still be able to compete.
Indeed.
And speaking of getting it, we move on in our team spotlight to a team that, well, hasn't quite gotten it the last few years.
Not yet.
They're the perennial, they're going to be good team someday, but they're not good.
No.
And have not been good for quite some time. And we are, of course, talking about, I'll give you listeners a second to come up with it, the Buffalo Sabres, correct.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at their prospect list, there's some very intriguing guys on it. There's one guy at the top who I think we all agree, having seen him in the World Juniors, is going to be an impact player at the NHL level, if not next year, you know, fairly soon after that. And then, you know, at the top, we have another guy who I don't think we know yet what he's capable of or not capable of. And I'm speaking, of course, of their number one prospect, Casey Mittelstadt, and their number two prospect, Alex Nylander.
Yeah, and, I mean, Mittelstadt is obviously the key here. He got his beak wet at the end of the season, got his Sabres debut, and played very well. And when you look at him and what he can do down the middle, you've already got Jack Eichel. You've got a great veteran in Ryan O'Reilly who plays a two-way game. That's awesome. If Mittelstadt hits the way we think he can, and I think he's going to be one of the Calder favorites next year, mm-hmm. for the record, mm-hmm. I mean, that's great. And we know Buffalo has to sort out their defense core and their goaltending, to be sure. But it would be such a luxury for Mittelstadt to come out of the gate strong. And, I mean, he's just got so much skill, and he has performed at high levels. I think the future is great for him. With Nylander, next season is definitely going to be a show-and-prove year.
Oh, yeah.
He needs to have a big training camp. You know, he's been plagued by inconsistency issues. We had Jason Botterill on the podcast earlier this season, and, you know, he talked about how injuries really put Nylander behind the eight ball when the season began. But, you know, the AHL campaign, it wasn't dominant, and I think it's got to be dominant for a guy like him.
He came back in November. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, he missed a month and a half of the season. I mean, it's not like he missed a year or anything like that. He had lots of time to get his game together. He went to the World Juniors where you would think, you know, he's going to get an opportunity to play a lot, to dominate, to be a really great player at that level. And he did show flashes of that at times, but at times he didn't. His performance was pretty uneven and you know, in front of the fans that, you know, presumably you're going to be playing for the next couple of years, you know? So I was not impressed by him at the World Juniors. Was not at all impressed, in fact, by him at the World Juniors.
I'll admit, I forgot he was there sometimes.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
Because that's the effect that he had on that tournament. So, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, with a guy like Alex Nylander, like, you don't even project him on Buffalo's roster next year. No.
No,
you're going to the American League. I don't care what kind of training camp you have. I don't care how big you are or how great a shape you're in. You're going to the American League and go there and score 25 or 30 goals. Mm. Then we'll talk about playing in the NHL. And be consistent.
Yes.
Be consistent. And I'm, you know, I mean, if you watch his older brother, William, in Toronto, I mean, he's obviously established himself as an NHL talent.
Definitely.
But that consistency isn't there either. Mm. And in the playoffs this year, he was we were left wanting, I think, with his performance in the playoffs. So, anyways, but, yeah, I mean, those are two top prospects. Obviously, Nylander, you know, I mean, he's still a top talent.
Potential, yeah, the potential.
Yeah, he's still
there.
A top talent.
Yeah.
Nobody's giving up on him. Still, nobody's doing any of those things.
Yeah.
But speaking of figuring it out, what we talked about, he's a boy that has to figure it out.
Yeah.
So as we move along, you know, I mean, the Sabres, you know, if they get Rasmus Dahlin, they could corner the market on Rasmus's.
Rasmi?
Yeah, on Rasmi, because their third prospect, who's not a defenseman named Rasmus, but a center named Rasmus.
Yeah, Rasmus Asplund. This is a player that I've liked for a couple of years, going back to his draft season. Just a really solid guy. You know, skilled, but plays the game hard. And, you know, he's been playing against men for a couple of years now. And I got to say, Buffalo has done very well with the Swedes lately, because they've got Asplund. Marcus Davidson is another player that kind of gives you a different look. Like, Marcus Davidson could be like a really good third liner, maybe even a second liner, because he goes to the dirty areas, he works hard. I remember interviewing him a couple of years ago when he was with the national team, and he said that Gabriel Landeskog was a player that he looked up to. And, you know, he's not as big as Landeskog, but he's still got a pretty decent frame. And another Swede I'll mention is Victor Olofsson, who actually just signed his contract with the Sabres. Great goal scorer. Really good sniper. So that's a player that, you know, obviously the Sabres are hoping they can get something out of sooner than later. But pretty nice European crop they got going on there.
Yeah, and with Marcus Davidson and the goalie, Ukko-Pekka
Luukkonen.
Yeah, Luukkonen. I mean, and that was a guy that I think, you know, is a guy that that, you know, we saw him at the World Juniors, and he seems to be putting something together there, too.
Yeah, that's a goalie that has a lot of potential, and we'll see him at the World Juniors next year as well, I'm sure. And I think he was, like, decent at the World Juniors. I thought maybe he'd be a bit better, but that Finland team was really kind of disjointed, so I don't put a lot of blame on him for that, but I think Finland will be a lot better next year, as long as whoever coaches them doesn't get in the way. And Luukkonen has the size, the talent to really be a difference maker internationally. So it'll be fun to see what happens with him.
The Sabres need help on defense. And there's two defensemen in their system that I find really intriguing, both of them. One of them is Brendan Gaul, and the other one's Will Borgen. Brendan Gaul is a guy who has knocked really seriously on the door the last couple of years. Could have made the team out of training camp 2 years ago, probably could have made it last year out of training camp, and you know, was sent down to Rochester for the bulk of the season, and has had some tastes, but a guy that the Sabres seem to really like, and a guy that, you know, now you know, I mean, if you're looking at development and projection and everything, looks like they're handling it the right way. And, you know, maybe, you know, is it outrageous to suggest that he would be ready for a spot on the NHL roster next year?
I don't think it is outrageous. With Brendan Gaul, you got that prototypical modern defenseman where he's so mobile, he's such a good skater, he brings so many elements to the game, and I agree with you. I think that, you know, the Sabres were obviously a mess last season, and to expect him to make a big impact, I just don't think it would have worked out for him development-wise. But even going into next year, you know, he gets another summer in the gym, you know, gets bigger and stronger, that sort of thing. They obviously need help up there. Rasmus Ristolainen cannot play the minutes that he does. It's just not in the cards. And, I mean, if they get Rasmus Dahlin, then obviously, you know, the whole paradigm shifts.
Yeah, everything changes,
right?
Yeah.
And maybe that affects where Brendan Gaul is.
And we will find out this Saturday whether the Buffalo Sabres will get Rasmus Dahlin.
Yes, we will. And but I think they got a good one there. And a couple of other defensemen, just to keep in mind, Will Borgen, who played at the Olympics for Team USA. Very good player for St. Cloud State. And again, a mobile kid that has done some pretty good things internationally. Casey Fitzgerald's a player I've always liked. like, he went undrafted his first year of eligibility and was picked up the next year by the Sabres. It's Tom Fitzgerald's son, former NHLer, now an executive in the
NHL.
And
Brady Kachuk's cousin. And
the Hayes cousin. Yeah, he's basically related to everybody on the East Coast that plays hockey.
Yeah.
But he's not a big defenseman, but he plays bigger. I'm not sure if Torrey Krug is a really good comparison, but, you know, when I look at Torrey Krug, I see a guy that's physical, even though he doesn't necessarily have the huge frame.
Right.
And then Jacob Bryson, kind of interesting, out of Providence College, had a very nice year offensively, and he'll be going back there for the Friars, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of development he can get.
There's one guy that we should talk about, and that's Cliff Poo.
Yes.
A kid who has always been, all he does is score, you know, did it right from the time he played as a rookie in London and then got traded to Kingston, still in the playoffs, in the OHL playoffs, albeit
barely.
Kingston's hanging by a thread, you know, here, but I think they're down 3-1 right at the moment to Hamilton. A guy that, you know, like I said, I just, all he does is score.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, a player where, you know, he's going to have to find his way, you know, keep getting stronger. And, you know, given where the Sabres are at, you probably want to see him in Rochester for a year or two. But a very good foundation. And you're right. I mean, he just produces wherever he is. And he hasn't been the guy necessarily on his teams. But that's okay. I mean, you need those players that can give you depth scoring.
But you need second liners.
You need second liners.
You need second line centers who can score and move up and down the lineup and maybe play on the first line or power play or whatever. You need those guys. Those are the kind of guys that are the heartbeat of your team sometimes.
Exactly. And I think Cliff Poo has that chance.
And, I guess, you know, I mean, what I'm hoping for here, Ryan, is that I'm hoping that some team signs Griffin Outhouse, the Victoria Royals goalie, so Pooh can score on Outhouse.
Oh, man.
Because we are 12 years old. Yes, we are. We're 12 years old, right?
Yes, we are.
You're distancing yourself from this.
I tread lightly.
Okay. Well, anyways, on that note, we will we'll close it up for this week. Join us next week. Again, remember, draft lottery Saturday night.
That's right.
We'll find out who gets the first pick overall in the NHL draft, and that will be I'm sure that'll be something we'll have to talk about for next week. And next week, our team spotlight will be the Boston Bruins, who are obviously moving on to the second round and have a pretty good future also looking forward. So please join us for that, and we'll talk to you next week.